Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
The Burt Show.
A brand new Audi Q3 for only $100. We are doing our annual raffle for Burt's Big Adventure. You got 48 hours left in this raffle to get your tickets, and you could win this Audi Q4 for only $100, and all the money is going to Burt's Big Adventure, every single penny. So thank you to Audi Atlanta for hooking us up with this. Get your ticket today, 48 hours left at Burt's Big Adventure. .org. All right.
Deep breath.
Here we go. Part three now of Abby in London. Impossible for us to recap the entire thing. So if you missed any of it, you're going to have to go to the podcast today and listen to all three segments, because it would take us the entire segment to recap where we are here. Yeah. So go for it.
This is turning out to be way longer than I anticipated it to be. I thought this was going to be a two-parter, but I was just in the back with the youth group and I was making some notes to make sure I didn't miss anything. And I was like, this might actually have to be a four-parter, because there's a lot of layers here. Side note, the Burt Show Youth Group wanted me to make sure I use this primetime airtime to let you know that our new podcast is dropping at 10 a.m. today on Spotify, okay. Sunday School with the Burt Show Youth Group. Anyway, back to the London boy story. So, where I left off with me getting a text that I didn't quite understand from him after the end of our first date.
Second date
in London. I'm in bed. I just updated everybody on the date diaries that this man is in love with me. Like, he is obsessed with me. He's looking at flights to Atlanta. We just said goodbye. We're planning to see each other again on Saturday for a Mamma Mia brunch.
Did you guys have a good night kiss?
Of course.
Okay. Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, you think I'm in London, like, talking to this guy with my dad and we're not going to kiss?
Yeah.
Yeah. Why you bring your dad into it, you weirdo?
I did weird it up a little bit.
Well, I mean, like, you know, in terms of, like, emotional, whatever. Anyway.
Okay.
Where do I want to start?
Scale of 1 to 10, with 10 being the best kiss ever.
This is actually better than the first time. It was more like, the first time it was like a drunk makeout. This time we kissed, it was like, oh, he, like, put some effort into this. Okay. This is great. Right. There's some effort here.
And your lips weren't completely numb this time.
No.
From the alcohol.
No, I remembered it. So I get off the date diaries, and I want to make sure I get this right. I do my date diaries. I go to bed. I do my date diaries. I look at my phone, my WhatsApp, which is the texting platform that all the Europeans do have. And I have like 7 missed calls from him.
7?
And a bunch of gibberish texts about him getting home. And I'm very confused.
Now, you said you guys both had drank a lot.
We both had a lot to drink. He asked if he could come up, and I was like, that's not really my speed, but I'll see you on Saturday, that kind of thing. And he was visibly disappointed, but I'm like, whatever, like, he's drunk, like, I'm not reading too much into this. I go upstairs, do my date diaries. I see I have a bunch of missed calls from him, some texts that are like kind of gibberish. I don't really totally know what they mean, so I'm texting him. I'm like, are you okay? Like, are you getting mugged? Do you need my help?
Can I ask you a real quick question?
Uh-huh.
Okay, so what time in the morning are these texts and calls? Are these right after the date?
Yes.
So you're talking about like 2-3 in the morning?
This is like 2 in the morning.
Okay.
This is about an hour after we've said, 30 minutes after we've said goodbye.
And you're sleeping through these and seeing them in the morning, or you're getting them in
this
real time?
This is before I go to bed.
Okay.
So I see all these notifications, a bunch of missed calls, and I'm like making sure he's okay. And then he just ends it. He says, don't worry. Ends it with a text that says, we have a lot to discuss tomorrow, X. And X is kind of an affectionate thing for the British. It's sort of like a, like, yeah, kind of like saying like LOL or haha. It's a tone setter.
Yes, yeah, XOXO. It's a kiss.
Yes. And he says, we have a lot to discuss tomorrow. And I reply, cryptic, trying to be funny. Like, we have a lot to discuss tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Whatever. So I go to bed and I don't hear from him all day.
What an ominous text to end on.
How do you even fall asleep after something
48
like
hours
that?
Of sleep deprivation and 7 glasses of wine.
Okay.
I was exhausted. So I go to bed. I wake up. It's Friday. I don't hear from him all day. So I decide to text him when I know he's getting off work. And I say, this is quite the cliffhanger. Just, again, trying to be funny and lighthearted, because I'm thinking I'm thinking after a fun date like that, like, you're going to text the girl that you just had, you know, 7 hours of fun with.
For sure.
And all he says is, I would love to know what this was about. And I'm thinking, oh, he just doesn't remember what all those gibberish texts were. He's like, oh, he's like, just like laughing off how drunk he was. I would love to know what this is about. And I said, oh, you and me both. Like, You don't remember what you were texting me about. You don't know what you were calling me about. Whatever.
Now I feel like I took the shot of Jameson because my stomach is a knot.
I am so nervous right now.
You and me, so again, I'm in London by myself, 50% specifically for this guy, thinking it's going really well, everything's great, and now all of a sudden I have two more days left in London, and it's all of a sudden not a surefire thing anymore as it was a couple hours ago. So he doesn't respond to that. I had made plans to go out with friends that night, so we all bopped around Mayfair together, and I'm kind of having a hard time having a good time because all I can think about is I thought I had fun plans tomorrow, and now I don't even know if I'm going to see this guy again. So Saturday comes around. I still don't hear from him. We're supposed to do this Mamma Mia brunch thing, so I decide I'm just going to bop around London. I get very lost, so I end up just in Notting Hill, which is the one neighborhood I feel like I just always ended up at, and stumble into this pub where everyone's watching like a soccer match. And I pull out my book, Notes on Heartbreak, in front of a cozy fire. I've got the most delicious glass of Sauvignon Blanc. Who knew the Brits knew how to pick a Sauvignon Blanc? And I'm getting a little wine drunk because I've had nothing in my stomach all day because I physically can't eat. And I'm chatting with the locals, and they love that I've just stumbled upon their local pub. And they're like, oh, an American, this is fun. So they get me another drink. And now I'm two glasses of Sauvignon Blanc deep, reading a book on heartbreak in a pub in London, thinking, what the heck, how am I going to, because at the same time, I'm kind of like, I know this story needs an end. And so I've got to at least figure out what's going on. So somewhere in the Sauvignon Blanc haze, it dawns on me that as I'm rereading the text, he means, oh, I would love to know what this was about. This meaning me and him. And I'm kind of like, oh, he must think because I'm going out with him and I don't live here that I'm obviously just here for like a hookup. And he's very confused about this. So I craft a text back that says, you know, I reread your text. I'm really sorry for misreading your intentions. I thought we were both enjoying getting to know each other. No worries. Have a good Saturday. Hope your move today is going well. Because he told me to move a couple of things into his new flat. So,
wait, so at this point, are you like, oh, he's getting cold feet and doesn't want to see me because it's just a fling?
I'm thinking I'm here because I think, you know, who's to say your person is in your city? So I'm like, you know, trying to flesh this out. And also, you know, I'm technically here for work. I'm doing some podcast things. So I'm like, this is just my second opportunity to see if like you're it. And he thinks I'm just an American running through London, having a good time. And he's going to do all these nice things for a hookup. So I'm kind of sitting there feeling that way. And then he sends me a text back and he goes, in hindsight, I think I called you about like me trying to get home. I just looked at my credit card statement, saw I took an electric scooter back to this part of London. And so I'm kind of like, okay, so we keep going back and forth. And he's like, what are you up to today? I'm like, kind of mad because I'm like, this mofo, like we were supposed to hang out today. Yeah. And so I keep being like, nothing, just bopping around London. And he asked me again at some point, we're still talking. I'm telling him, pretending to be a soccer fan. Like, you know, I don't know who to root for. Who should I root for? And we're having like a good conversation. So I'm like, okay, maybe I then miss it. Now I'm feeling crazy. Like now I'm like, okay, so maybe I misinterpreted my misinterpretation. And he really was talking about being too drunk to understand what these messages were about. And so now I'm like, okay, we're back on a good foot. So he's going to ask me out again. I'll at least get to see him one more time. Kind of feeling weird about this situation now.
So why, when he said, what are you doing today? Why didn't you say, well, we have plans at blank to go see Mamma Mia or whatever it was?
Because I wanted him to step up and say, I asked you out. I didn't. Mm-hmm. I was like, I don't want to force you. You know, I mean, maybe he's trying to get out of it. I don't know. So
I
he goes, oh, you didn't go to Mamma Mia? And I said, well, I thought that would have been a weird thing to go to alone. And then I shrug. And then he doesn't say anything. And now I'm like, I have to have an end. I can't, this is yeah. too, yeah. this is, I've flown too far for this just to end on a, for us to just ghost each other. So I send him, I have one final sip of Sauvignon Blanc. And I decide to send him a Hail Mary text. And I basically say something along the lines of, what did I say? I basically said something along the lines of, I don't really know where this is going, but if you don't want to see, do you want to just have one more really fun, crazy, drunken night together and end this on a high note before we inevitably never see each other again?
Oh, no.
Oh.
Just kind of like, kind of jokingly being like, haha, do you just, at this point, I'm like, I need an end to this. You know, I've committed to the bit too much. Like, I thought we liked each other. Like, do you just want to see each other one more time? And immediately he's like, oh my gosh, absolutely. Blah, blah, blah. I'm still moving today. I can't make it into Central because I do live kind of far from Central, but would love to take you to this pub that's by my, in my neck of the woods if you want to come out with me and my friends. And I'm thinking, all right, ending to the story here. I'll go out and meet him. I'm now recognizing I'm going very, very long. I don't know if I have time to end this in this part, but I can if you really need me to.
No, let's do it when we come back. Okay. I don't want to. That's why I skipped it before, because I didn't want to rush through it. So everybody in here is just like you guys listening, going, tell the story!
Sorry, I swear I will end it at the next part.
You're not doing anything wrong. You're doing it just at the right pace. It's just that we've got commercials to play. I mean,
look at me. This is good.
Yeah,
you're doing great.
You're doing fine.
Yeah. Okay.
This thing better not end bad. I will rush over there. I will bring Mo and big people, and we will beat him up.
Let's get it.
Do you want me to tease how it ends?
No.
No.
Okay. All right, I'll leave it here.
I'm nervous,
though. Feel like there must have been like some kind of miscommunication, or his drunkenness got him thinking something different than you.
It's like every, you know, 1, 2, 3 dates that you go on, you send a text, you're overanalyzing, he's overanalyzing, everybody's trying to beat around the bush and stuff here. Nobody really knows what each other is thinking.
Okay. This got to be number 2 on Netflix right now. That's what I'm saying.
The Burt Show.
Pretty sure I know how live radio works. It's just that, you know, there are people coming and going from the show all the time. There are people that were listening earlier that can't listen now. Some of you guys are listening right now that didn't hear everything earlier. So what we normally like to do when we are talking about one storyline throughout the day is recap the entire thing for you before we go into the new content. We can't do that today. This storyline with Abby in London and linking up with this guy that she had a chemistry with months ago and then going back and taking a shot. If you missed any of that, we can't recap it. It would take the rest of the show before we get into the new stuff.
It's so many twists and turns and ups and downs.
This is not a gimmick or anything to get you to listen to the podcast, but honestly, you're going to have to listen to the podcast if you're interested in this today.
That's so funny because in my family group chat right now, my mom is texting everybody in the family who's invested in what's going on, and she's like, everyone turn on the Burt Show right now. Abby's doing the final end to what the story is, and I'm literally in my family group chat. They owe me nothing, and I'm like, don't listen to this unless you have listened to the first 3 parts yet. Yes. It won't make any sense for you. Go listen to it on the podcast on Spotify or Apple or whatever.
Right. So if we were going to do a 15-second recap of just the last one, there you are hanging out with this guy. Things are going absolutely fantastic. You guys are buzzed. He goes your way, you go your way, and then he starts sending you gibberish WhatsApp messages, and then there's some confusion.
There's some confusion with the text that he sent me where he basically sent me a bunch of gibberish and then said, I would love to know what this is about. And I'm thinking, oh, he just forgot about what those texts meant. And I laugh it off and I go, huh, you and me both. And then he doesn't say anything. And we had made plans to see each other on Saturday. So when I don't hear from him all day Friday, I'm kind of like, this is quite the cliffhanger. Like, what's going on? Like, what do we have to discuss? And I get no answer, and I basically just say, I think I misinterpreted what you said. I would love to know what this is about. You must have thought this was a hookup. I thought this was, you know, more romantic vibes.
My initial thought, prediction in my head was, oh my God, he found out that you do a morning show, and he went on and listened and has listened to this whole storyline. He's wondering if this is just manufactured for a story.
Mm-hmm.
So at this point, he still doesn't know that you're in radio?
That's funny. That's Kaylee's exact prediction in the back. And I will say that never came up once.
So, I mean, if you're with each other so much over the course of that 24, 48 hours, the job never comes up? Like, he doesn't ask what you do, or that just doesn't, it never comes up?
I think that was a part of the appeal of when I went out with him, is that's something I've really struggled with dating in Atlanta, is that I'm a very easy Google search for somebody that lives here. And it creates a very uncomfortable power dynamic that I've had a hard time accepting, because I think it's important to accept it and to not complain about it, because this is just what I signed up for. Like, if I'm going to be open and honest, people are going to A, be intimidated about the publicity and be turned off by that, or B, they're going to know everything about me before I even step in front of them.
Did you find yourself purposely avoiding a conversation about what you do for a living? Because it seems like it would just come up.
The first time we met, we talked about it, but like, the Europeans do not talk about work. Mm-hmm. And that's even with the friends that I met. Like, I would be like, oh, so what do you guys do for work? And they'd be like, I'm a something analyst, and then move on. Like, they think it's very boring.
It's an American thing, because what we like to do is we subconsciously like to test each other. Like, where are we? Is this person good enough for me to talk to? Right.
Yeah.
You don't find that in a lot of cultures and outside the country.
So I'm wondering if at the end of your all's second date, and it was another like incredible date, and he walked you back to your hotel, because you asked him to walk you back to your hotel to get back there safely, that he had built some expectation up in his head that he was going to come upstairs and you guys were going to have, like, you know, a magical night or whatever. What would they say on The Bachelor? You go back to the...
Oh, yeah. If you want to forgo your individual rooms and...
The fantasy suite.
The fantasy suites. Yeah. And to an extent, like, when he was, like, upset when I turned him down, I kind of got that to a point. I'm like, he's a dude. He's drunk. I get it. I'm not going to, like, hold this over your head.
No, totally. And I'm not... I'm not faulting anybody with how they handled that situation, but I'm wondering if because of, like, the copious amounts of alcohol that you guys had, that when he was walking away, he started to get it in his head, like, so what is this? Like, what are we doing here? And that's why he sent that WhatsApp text.
And that's why I'm giving him the benefit of the doubt. Like, I'm not holding any anger towards him. I'm just trying to figure out, are we going to see each other again? And if we do, is it going to be just as good as it was the last couple of times? Or is it going to feel like things have taken a turn to where he's kind of like, he still put me in that box and I'm still kind of trying to suss it out to see if there's, like, a romantic future here.
Okay.
So that's where we're at. There's the 4.5 minute recap of that. So basically now we're at a point where we're texting and he's like, I say, are we going to ever see each other again? Like, what are we doing? And he's like, you can come to this pub that I'm going to with my flatmates tonight. Would love to see you. And so I'm like, okay, good. We're back on a good foot. I'll go hang out with my friends tonight at a cocktail bar in Soho. I'll take an Uber down to his neighborhood. It'll be great. Great way to end the story. So I end up going down to meet him at this pub, like, in another part of London. And the line is crazy, crazy long. So he comes and finds me at the front. He's like, listen, like, this line is too long. Just hop the fence. I'll cover you. And so I'm like, okay. And he's like, it's my final night in London. I'm like, what the hey?
You start scaling a wall like a spider monkey?
It's just like a ledge. It's not like a big fence. And he goes, but you have to be subtle about it. And I look at him and I was like, have you ever known me to be subtle? And then he kind of rolls his eyes and like, just hop over the fence. So I hop over the fence. His flatmates are behind him. Immediately, the bouncer kicks us all out.
Oh, no.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So now we have to hop the fence back. And they're like, you guys can't come back in here anymore. And so now I feel horrible because here I am, this random American that's just shown up to see this guy. These two boys who have no idea who I am, have no investment in this. Like, now we have to change pubs. So now we go to a different bar. And I feel so bad that I'm like, you guys, let me get you all around a shot. So I get them a shot of tequila. And we're all riffing. I'm like, oh, this is actually really, really great. Like, I'm really getting on with the two guys. I'm joking with them about how there's a height requirement for their friend group because they are all 6'7", 6'6", former rugby players. And it's going really well until...
Oh, no.
This is where it turns. So we're standing there and we're in front of his friends, and this kind of all has to do with something that I was wearing that night. And it brought back memories. Two things that happened this night brought back memories of things that I kind of justified or kind of ignored the first couple times that we had met. And this time it hit a little different, I guess, with the context of how the night ended on Thursday. I think I was still kind of like clocking that information as like, okay, this is something that happened. This is maybe an expectation he has. I need to like kind of clock this. So I'm standing with these guys, and something that I had noticed on the dates that we have been on is like, yes, he's very affectionate and touchy in a way that like is so made me feel like so like protected and cherished. But then I would say progressively as we would get drunker, it went from being like affectionate to what I would call handsy.
Gropey.
And I think there was a part of me that's like, don't be a prude, Abby. Like maybe this is just my avoidant attachment style coming out. Like maybe I just need to be more comfortable. Like maybe, you know, this is just what couples do, I guess. Like, you know, he's excited. He's a drunk boy and you know, he's excited about me. I'm a cute girl and we like each other. And he's just, you know, he's drunk and he's getting handsy. But I'm wearing a skirt this time around, and we're in front of his friends in a crowded bar.
You're wearing a what?
Skirt. A skirt with shorts underneath.
Got it.
So I'm wearing a skirt, and immediately, I've been there like 2 minutes. We just took this shot, and all of a sudden, his hand just goes up my skirt, my skirt, in front of everybody. And I look at him, I'm like, hang on, like I'm flashing everyone. He goes, no, your jacket's covering it. I'm like, no, put your hand down. And so he does that, and it kind of progressively gets a little bit more like grabby throughout the night. But again, I'm kind of like pushing it off. I'm like, whatever. Like, he's just an excited boy. And, you know, eventually the guys leave and he goes, let's have one more fun night. Let's go to this club. I'm like, okay. He's like, I'm so excited. You know, Margot Robbie used to go to this club all the time. So I'm like, okay.
Okay. So now at this point, you've got a decision to make because you're turned off by the handsiness. But you're like, you know, you're just trying to You're making excuses for it.
I'm kind of justifying it because then he stops and then, you know, then he's being cute and he's like kissing me on the forehead again. I'm like, okay, maybe, you know, he just needed to be told to like stop. He's just, again, drinking too much. He's really excited, whatever.
Or maybe he was trying to show off in front of his flatmates.
And so that made me feel some type of way too. I'm like, now this feels gratuitous for you. Now this, I start to feel a little bit less than. I feel a little used. So then we go outside and he's like, I'm going to call us an Uber to go to this club. I'm like, perfect. Would love to share the Uber with you. He goes, no. We're talking to these two guys and he's like, I'm going to get these guys to pay for our cover charge at the next place. I'm like, oh, sick, cool. So we get in the car, we get out of the to the club. Those two guys bolt. We never see them again. And he's like kind of visibly upset that they like aren't paying our 15-pound cover charge for each of us. And I'm like, no worries. I got this. We get in line. You know, things are back to normal. He's hugging me around the neck and, you know, we're standing, we're being like the obnoxious couple in line at Disney World. And we get in, I immediately put my card down. It's like 30 pounds for us both to get in. I'm like, don't worry, you just get the drinks or whatever.
What's
it's
that,
fine.
Like 35 bucks?
Yeah, for drinks in England, it was like 10 pounds for us both to drink. Like, it's pretty cheap.
But a pound is equivalent to a dollar plus, right?
So if it's 26 pounds, it was probably $33 okay. for me to get in. $33 for me to get into this club. So we get into the club. And we immediately go to the bar. He's like, what do you want? And I'm like, I've been drinking tequila all night, tequila soda. So he gets a beer and he gets me a gin and soda, which I was kind of like, that's weird. I've been drinking tequila all night. Like, this is kind of random. And then he looks at the price and he goes, why'd you get such an expensive drink? And I go, oh, yeah, okay, whatever. So then we go to the dance floor. We're dancing. And I'm kind of noticing that he's just not, I think one of the things that was so endearing about him was when we first went out, it was like, if we were in a crowd, he was looking out for me. If someone stepped on my toe, he was going to say something about it. Like, it was very like protective energy. And now I'm like feeling like it's not headed that way. He's still being kind of grabby. He's not really like looking out for me. And I'm literally getting shoved. Like, I'm this 5'3" person in a crowd of like 6-footers getting pushed back and forth. And I'm very visibly uncomfortable. And I look at him and I was like, can we go stand somewhere else? And he kind of rolls his eyes and I'm like, sure, whatever. I'm going to go get another drink. So he's finished his beer at this point. We go to the bar. And so at this point, I'm like kind of ready to go home. And we're standing at this bar. And he looks at me. He goes, I'm going to run to the bathroom. Just grab me whatever beer. And I was like, okay. And I'm standing there. And I'm thinking about how many times he's done that the past couple times we've hung out, where he would just mysteriously go somewhere to the bathroom or wherever and say, get me whatever drink. And I'm thinking, oh, this is what couples do. We split. He gets around, I get around. He gets around, I get around. But with the context of the gropiness and now thinking about how many times I've bought him a drink and how angry he got at the people who didn't want to pay our cover charge, I'm like, now I'm starting to feel a little used financially. And if this was a show, it's almost like you could just see the camera zooming in on me as I'm kind of like just standing off, staring, thinking of every time that it's happened. And I'm starting to feel a little icky, like I can just feel his hands on me and it doesn't feel good. And he's in the bathroom and I'm like, okay, when he comes back, just try and put on a good face. And then I go home in like an hour. And so he comes back and he looks at me, he goes, you didn't get me a beer. And I go, well, the bartender hasn't come to me yet. And he goes, go, call the bartender over. And I was like, you want to, I still have my gin and soda I had like two drinks of. I was like, you get the bartender. So he gets the bartender. He grabs a beer or he asks for a beer. And then he looks at me, he goes, what do you want? And I was like, I don't need another drink. And he goes, but you're getting this round. And I'm like,
what?
No, I'm not. I don't need one. Get your 4-pound beer. I'm really good. And he rolls his eyes. He slams his card down on the card reader. And this is where it ends for me. He puts his card down and he's huffing and puffing. And then he grabs the card reader. And after he puts his card down and it's taken it and he's ready to give it back and he gets his beer, he slams the card reader down and I flinch. And I have this moment of where I've spoken to women before who've talked about experiencing men who are kind of aggressive and violent. And I will never forget what and I'm not saying this is domestic violence, but I talked to a domestic violence expert about this at one point. She said, a lot of times men will hit something else before they hit you. And I didn't even take a beat. He slammed the card reader down and I took off and I didn't look back. Until I ran into a wall and then I found a bouncer because now I'm afraid. And I asked the bouncer to escort me out and I get in an Uber and I go straight to the hotel. And it takes 25 minutes for him to say something over WhatsApp. He goes, WTF, where are you? You ran away? Calls me. I decline. Calls me. I decline. Calls me. I decline. Calls me. I decline. And I get back to my hotel room and I am just like, I never want to be within 5 feet of this guy again. I don't want to see him. I don't want to touch him. I get in the shower And I just feel like I can't get the feeling off of me of him touching me. I just sit in the shower for 10, 15 minutes. I get back in my bed. And I delete the message. I want him to know that I'm not opening that message. I'm done. And so I know this is a really dark ending to what was so exciting of a story, but I just found it really funny that when I first messaged him on Hinge, there was a question he had asked me. And the question was, what gets you obsessed with a guy? And I didn't have an answer. I was like, first of all, this is kind of forward. And I said, I don't know. It's TBD, TBD. And I would go out with that guy later that night. And what got me so obsessed with him was like how cherished I'd felt, how taken care of I'd felt, how protective I felt. And then for the same guy to then make me feel like that, you know, only on the third date was jarring. And I've had so many women be so excited about this story, and me included. Like, I'm like, wow, this is a really cool experience. Like, I'm kind of living the rom-com that everyone's so excited about. And I was really hoping it would end well, you know, for me, but also, you know, for everyone to believe in love. Cause I want there to be hope out there that something special really exists. And I'm like, even if this isn't my guy, like I still hope it's like a good, fun, you know, piece of hope for people to cling on to. And I've had so many women say, you're doing this for all the married women who are so bored with their lives right now. And, you know, are just so, you know, are so sick of the mundane. And as I was going home, it was just such an opposite experience of the last time I had gone to London, where I like didn't want to go home. I was like, the thought of going to Atlanta just makes me want to like rip my skin off. Like there's so much adventure out there. Like I'm going to quit my job. I'm going to travel and I'm going to have adventures. And then on the flip side, as I was checking in my bags, they offered me $2,000 and a free hotel stay to stay another day. And I thought, I want nothing to do with it. I want to go home. And I was thinking about all those women that had DM'd me saying that they were jealous and, you know, wanted some excitement like that in their life. And I just thought they were so jealous of me. And now I am so jealous of them. Mm. It is a privilege to get to come home somewhere. And to have that mundane comfort and safety, whether it be a place or a person. And I just thought that I can't wait for my life to feel mundane and safe with somebody.
Abby, I'm so sorry.
I'm sorry, Abby.
For multiple reasons that you had to have that experience, but also that you had to relive it this morning and we had no idea.
No idea.
So I really commend you for telling the story the way that you did. Like you were an impeccable radio soldier the way you told the story. And obviously we were all so invested. And I want to apologize. We put a lot of pressure on you. And for that, I'm sorry.
Oh my God. First of all, if anybody's listening to this and they're like, Abby should have never had to tell. No, I wanted to tell it. I was really excited. I was nervous to tell it because I was like, sometimes you experience something and you wonder if the nerves or the memories aren't going to come out the way you lived them. Mm-hmm. And I don't think I realized until I wrote everything in my notes on the plane. And I don't think until I spoke it out, how deeply this bothered me.
Sure. I know this is a cliche. While it hurts and it's so disappointing for you also and so scary, thank God you dodged a bullet.
Mm-hmm. You really handled it really well.
You really dodged a bullet, man. And I think that there are so many that go through that kind of intoxicating first couple of dates also and might not feel the kind of disappointment that you have because it got dangerous. I feel like this could have been dangerous. You dodged a bullet. And I am so sorry that you had to be so invested in it. I really am. I feel for you.
But I think you have there's so many valuable lessons that young women can take from what you just shared. And that I think there are some out there that would have still excused the behavior or justified the behavior and would have stayed at the club. And then who's to say what would have happened later? But you gave them the signs to look out for. And you knew when to walk away. And hopefully that's going to help other young women and know when to walk away.
I know your story. You wanted it to end with a positive thing so you could give people hope and love, but I think you've given people something more powerful. Unfortunately, it's to your own detriment, but you've given people the power to trust themselves. You've told every girl out there who's gone on these dates, who's seeing some red flags, but excusing them because this guy is great. You have just told them it's okay for them to listen to themselves and save themselves from heartbreak down the line.
And you also helped us mundane mothers and wives really appreciate what we have at home.
I think that part of it was excellent how you broke that down. I also would like to say, I hope you don't allow the ending of this story take away from the beginning of how brave you were and how you went out there and did what you did. I think it's inspiring. And I also believe in my heart that the universe rewards people who do things like that. So I think this is just a step back for something even greater in the future. So don't blame yourself and keep your head up.
There is so much for you to be proud of. Mm-hmm. I mean, really. I mean,
so much.
Taking the shot, going for it. And then as Kristen and Cassie said, identifying the signs and not staying and being brave enough to be in your element and know that this is a dangerous situation and walk away. Also knowing that there was so much pressure from so many that were rooting for this also. There's a lot to be proud of, and I hope you are.
Thank you. And I'm very proud of the self-trust that I have with myself because I knew something was wrong, and I always kind of wonder, like, you know, I think it's a very easy question, like, why do women stay? Why do women stay? And I think sometimes we can get caught up in the good parts and the story of it all. And I think this is a perfect example of the story of it all. And if he had been in my hometown, I would have walked away earlier. So I hope that women can see that. And I don't really know how to end this because I'm a little, fine. Yeah.
I'll just say Burt Show.
The Burt Show.
The Burt Show.
This is not the kind of interesting I was looking for, but it's gotten very interesting in our college football bet.
Oh, say does that star-spangled banner yet wave?
The loser of this college football bet is going to sound worse than that guy.
Uh-huh.
As one of us sings the national anthem in public, probably at a Little League game. And here are the rules of engagement. Mo, tell them how we're doing it this year.
All right. So, yeah, this year I decided to come up with the idea to kind of switch it up a little bit because in years past, we have always made bets and we all chose a college football team. But you were supposed to try to choose a team that you felt like would have the most wins by the end of the season. And we have switched it up and decided to all try to choose which teams we feel would have the most losses.
We were all feeling very, very confident here when Abby, with the first pick in the draft, picked Florida State. What idiot would do that?
Yeah, because they were undefeated last
right.
year. Dumb decision, but not this time around, suckers, because I think I'm in second place so far with a Florida State record of 1-6. They lost again this weekend to Duke 23-16.
You are 1-6.
This is so great for
who
me.
Who saw this coming?
Nobody.
Man.
When is the last time? I'm Googling it. When is the last time Duke beat FSU?
It's going to take you right to basketball.
I think it was the first time ever.
Was it?
Was it?
I think so.
Are you serious?
I think it was the first time they ever beat.
Yeah, they beat Florida State for the first time in program history.
You're kidding.
Remind me to never get on Abby Bass.
I don't know what you're doing.
You know
man.
That curse you were talking about earlier in the show? It's a women thing. We be putting curses on people.
So there I was as a Georgia fan feeling so good about this weekend after beating Texas. I don't even know why in the middle of the game for the very first time in my life I asked Siri, New Mexico football score.
And what did it say?
It said that New Mexico beat Utah State 50-45.
Go Lobos.
Not what I was looking for, man. They were supposed to win one game, maybe two, and this is their third win now.
So you are 3-4.
3-4.
Now my Kent State are just crushing it this year. They lost at Bowling Green 27-6.
Good for them.
I am still 0-for, baby. 0-7. Nowhere near getting on that Little League pitcher's mound to sing the national anthem.
So here's where it got interesting because Mo picked East Carolina in the beginning of the season thinking they were going to suck. And then they just started winning and winning and winning.
I've been on pins and needles for quite a few weeks now because I picked East Carolina, who only won two games all last season. So I thought I made the right pick until they won like three out of their first four. before, but they've been on a losing streak. Uh-huh. They've lost their last few games, and they lost to Army 45-28 and fired their coach.
This
is looking better. So when I looked up New Mexico, as Bert did, and saw that New Mexico won, I celebrated like I won the Super Bowl.
So we get a tie ball game, folks. Yeah. Mo's team is East Carolina's 3-4. Bert's New Mexico Lobos is 3-4. So right now, it's one of you guys singing the national anthem.
We got a game.
I am guessing when you look at the Google Analytics this week, there's only one search for New Mexico football score, and it was me.
No, it was also me.
Well, isn't he okay, too?
Three. There's two.
What happens if this thing ends in a tie? Is it going to be a duet?
No. I actually thought about that.
That is funny.
I actually thought about that, and I think the tiebreaker should be out. We tally how many points they scored, and whoever scored the most amount of points, that's the person who has to sing.
Or we could just agree if it's tied to do a duet.
The duet is hilarious.
we got some weeks.
It is funny. All right.
We got some weeks.
Okay.
But as it stands right now, Mo and I are neck and neck. Ooh. And I thought this was going to be a lame bit considering how the whole thing started this year. I thought, Mo is definitely singing the national anthem.
I've had a lot of DMs of people telling me, I hope you're warming them vocals up. Everybody just knew that it was me. So the fact that this comeback has happened, some kind of a comeback. Yeah, I'm happy about it.
All right, totally off subject here. The Academy Museum Gala was this weekend. And do you guys, have you ever even heard of it before?
No. I have not heard of it, but I did see the red carpet.
Yeah.
And they came up and they showed out. Like, those outfits were stunning.
This is exactly where I'm going with this, because there was one that really stood out more than anybody else. So you got Kylie Jenner showing up. You got Kendall. You got Kim. And they are typically in their sexy show everything type things. But they all look great. And then you had Uma Thurman was there also. She looked typically like Uma Thurman. And then there was Pamela Anderson, who showed up. No makeup whatsoever.
That's all she does
now. And she has been doing this for a while. But I thought, in this specific gala, right, to be there and stick to your guns with all these women around that are to the nine. I don't even know what Kim Kardashian really looks like because all of the makeup that she has on. But she started this, the natural beauty revolution, a while back.
I think it was for the French Fashion Week,
yeah.
If I remember correctly. I think Paris Fashion Week was when she showed up and she was like just bareface. And that's when everything just became a frenzy around her. And it's also why she became one of Glamour's Women of the Year.
Good for her. I did some research this morning and looked up a couple of statistics. Taking into consideration of each product, a new survey from Skin Store reports the average woman wears $8 worth of makeup and skincare products every day. That adds up to almost $250 a month and well over $200,000 in a lifetime.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
$200,000?
In makeup alone, you guys. The survey also said the average woman puts on 16 products before leaving the home.
16? Yeah, so if I mean, obviously, I'm not wearing anything today. I never wear anything because of what we do. But yeah, if we tallied it up, like how much I put on my face before we went to the baby shower yesterday, I far exceed that.
Really?
Absolutely.
16.
That's crazy. I never thought of that.
Kristen Klingshirn or Pamela Anderson.
Way to honor Pamela today.
And you were doing that before even Pamela was doing it.
Baby, I've been barefaced in this studio on Facebook videos and YouTube videos for 13 years now.
It's The Bert Show.
The Bert Show.
So you're running out of closet space. The good news? You don't need to stop shopping. You just need to start selling with The RealReal. The RealReal is the world's largest and most trusted resource for authenticated luxury resale. Whether it's that mini bag that can't even fit your phone, or those boots you never fully broke in, The RealReal handles everything from photography and copywriting to shipping and pricing. So you can just sit back, get paid, and make room for things that actually feel like you. And with 10,000 plus new arrivals every single day from top designers like Prada, Celine, Louis Vuitton, and Loewe, all for up to 90% off retail, you're bound to find something perfectly on brand to fill that extra closet space with. Plus, right now, you can get an extra $100 to shop when you sell for the first time. Make room for what feels like you. Go to TheRealReal.com to start selling and get your extra $100 to keep shopping at TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com. Terms apply.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.